B-Pod Studios.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey, did
you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Hotline. Bert, what's up, man?
What's happening, Fred?
All
Joe?
Right. Mike is here as well. Can you see us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, it's beautiful when that happens. All right. I have two questions for you to lead off. One, do you think it is odd to the point of insane to take a train to Portland, Maine?
Why would you do that?
Why would you take a train to Portland, Maine?
Well, I guess you would if you lived in the city. No, it's not insane, because if you lived in the city and you didn't have a car, it would make sense to take a train to Portland, Maine. That's not insane.
Okay, because I took a train. I had to do an event for one of our affiliates that I was not paid for. And I had to do an event, and I was going to be there for 14 hours. Right. So I took the train, and I went by. I was by myself, so I took the because Rich took his entire family, of course. So I was by myself. So I decided I would take the train up there, and Joe. And it's fascinating to Joe, to the point where he's like just putting his hands on his head and shaking his head.
Well, I mean, honestly, I used to take a train every week to New York, and that was for 4 or 5 years, the most peaceful 7 hours of the week. My 3.5 hours on the train to New York and my 3.5 hours on the train back from New York. I could shut my brain off. I didn't have to worry about anything. I could do work if I wanted to do work. I could have a beer if I wanted to have a beer. I love traveling by train. Joe, what's weird about that?
I just think Portland is so close that you just get in the car and go.
I mean, it's an hour and a half on the train?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is on the train.
In reality, it was 2.5 hours on the train. But for me, Portland's two and change from where I live, I think.
He's also taking the train to Worcester.
Did you take the T into North Station then, a train from North Station? Or how did you
I had to take the train to North Station, yeah. Okay. I had to get to North Station, yeah, and then take it from there.
I just think it's close enough, Bert, you know?
I'm a big proponent of train travel.
I just don't understand. But I get that you wouldn't do it, but he was acting like I was insane. He was acting that I was out of my mind. And then I said, Adam 12.
Well, how close was the train station to Portland to the venue?
Five minutes, 2 minutes.
Oh, well, yeah. Then that's great. Not having to drive, not having to worry about parking.
Yeah, I don't want a car. There's no reason to have a car.
I don't know. Hey, want to go to Lake Winnipesaukee? Don't you just drive there? If you want to go to Wells, Maine, you just go there.
But
Joe,
I'm not going to Wells.
Joe, you're from the city, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So, one of the things I really miss about living in the city, living in Boston, is I would go weeks at a time without having to get. I'd only get in my car to move it for street cleaning.
Yeah.
I used to love that, the fact that I didn't have to, I never had to get in a car.
Yeah, yeah. My thing is, though, is when you have to go outside of the city, you need a car. You're going to just, if you have to get.
No, you do.
If you go from the city to Worcester, what are you going to do? You're going to hop on the Pike and go.
All right, here is my point about the reason he's bringing up Worcester is because Adam 12 and I, there's a show we want to go to, that's during the day. A festival that we want to go to.
Okay.
That's in Worcester. And we're probably going to take the train to Worcester because it's just easier. And,
right.
And take the train that I don't have to worry about driving and I don't have to worry about the car and I don't have to worry about anything like that. And like you said, the train is a toilet. You can walk around. And Joe thinks that's insane.
Joe, you're really anti-train travel.
I mean, he just hates the train.
I do. Well, I Again, maybe you're right, Fred. Maybe everything does spark to my days from the Orange Line. You know, I just, for me, if you can drive there easily in under 90 minutes, I think you should just get in the car and go.
If you're taking a train to Worcester or to Portland, it's not going to be like the Orange Line, dude.
No, I know.
It's an Amtrak train to Portland,
right?
I brought up the Patriot scenario. I used to sit at the Dedham train stop and go to the old Foxborough Stadium.
I mean, even like the commuter rail looks like the Acela compared to the Orange Line.
Yeah, I've never ridden on the Orange.
But come on, taking the trains.
I've been on the Orange Line. I've been on all of them. Huh?
To a Patriots game, taking the train's convenient because you don't pay to park. You pay sometimes they don't even charge you when you get on.
I hate taking the train.
I hate that. I'm sorry. That's a big out.
There's
right there.
No. Well,
there's two reasons to take the train to the Patriots. I've never done the train to the Patriots game because as long as that line's been there, I've pretty much been working. You know, but like there are two reasons. One, because you don't want to pay for parking, and two, so you can drink. Party, right? Yep. Yeah.
I there's no good way to get to Foxborough. It's
no.
I went, the last game I went to, I had a car service, and that took. I still had to walk a mile and a half.
You know what's wild, though? I think we've talked about this before, but at one point I suggested on Twitter, when they announced the new renovation in Foxborough, right? Like, and I think I suggested something like, this might be the last renovation before they start talking about a new stadium. And would they move back into Boston? I couldn't believe the amount of people that got all upset that don't want the stadium in Boston. Why wouldn't you want it in Boston?
Wow. Why wouldn't you want it in Boston? I guess if... Because,
like, Foxborough is convenient to no one.
No, like, if I
literally nobody.
And if I lived in Foxborough, I don't think I'd want the stadium there.
I mean, I live south of Boston.
You live right there. Lockhart, you live by the stadium.
Yeah, I used to live in Foxborough. It made no difference at all.
Okay,
right. Like, even if you live in Foxborough, it's inconvenient. Like I live south of Boston, and I'm still an hour from Foxborough.
Yeah, there's no good thing about that. All right. Second of all. Would you if you were the Celtics?
Yep.
Would you trade Jaylen Brown and then whatever else for Kevin Durant? Oof.
I mean, you hate to break up Brown and Tatum, right? But I think you have to do it.
You have to do it. You absolutely have to.
Because like I just think like this is like I sort of relate this to like what happened in college sports yesterday, where it's like if you don't do it, somebody else is going to, and you're going to fall behind, right?
Right.
Like if you don't do it, then maybe the Heat do it, and if the Heat do it, now all of a sudden you're chasing Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant, right? So I think you'd almost be doing it as much to block something like that from happening than to help yourself. Like you would be better. And maybe you would shorten your window a little bit because obviously Durant's a whole lot older than Jaylen Brown.
Right.
But I think as much as anything else, you do it thinking, well, if I don't do this, maybe Miami does. And now my path back to the finals is blocked.
See, I look at it this way is that are you looking to win a championship now? Or are you looking to or
be stable for like 8 years?
Right, exactly. And I think that you play for a championship. You win a championship and then, I mean, look at the way the people look at the big three. I mean, they're worshipped here. They won one championship.
You know, I had somebody explain, like, to put this in football terms, I had somebody with the Rams explain this to me a while back when we were talking about, like, what we're talking about here, which is, like, doing it for now versus short versus long-term viability. And his whole point was that their philosophy has become, because of how sports are in general now, to just think in 2 and 3 year blocks anyway. Yeah. That's what and his point was, like, that's what all pro sports teams should be doing now is thinking in 2 and 3 year windows, because those are the teams that are going to win championships, and that's what you're up against.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee. I don't even want to get into it because to me it doesn't matter, but there's no guarantee Jaylen Brown sticks around. But even if he was, even if you had Tatum and Brown for the next 10 years, it doesn't matter to me because I truly believe you win a championship next year. If you add Kevin Durant and all you're giving up in terms of tangible property is Tyson Brown. Go ahead.
Hey, Brent, I wanted to kind of bring this analogy up. If this was the NFL,
yeah,
who would Kevin Durant at his age be compared to as a quarterback? And could the situation be looked at as maybe moving on from a Mac Jones for that type of quarterback?
He's Stafford, right?
No.
He's better than Stafford.
He's better than that.
He's better.
Well, no, well, I mean, like, but no. Yeah. But I mean, age-wise, like he's
I would say more like Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, that's a better analogy.
Maybe, yeah, but like Aaron already proved he could win as the best player on.
So did Durant.
Would you trade Mac Jones for either of those quarterbacks right now?
Would I trade him for Aaron Rodgers?
Would you trade Matt? Yeah.
I'd trade him for there's about 15 quarterbacks I'd trade.
So I'm trying to make the comparison to
there's kids in his class that I trade.
The Durant, though, angle of it. Like,
I traded him for Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, Trevor Lawrence. let's do somebody better than Mac Jones then, okay?
Give me a list of teams.
But that's what I'm trying to say. Do you want to trade this? Do you want to trade this young, up and coming quarterback that does have a deal coming up soon? For a guy that's 34,
yes,
that's won championships.
Yes, absolutely.
In the NFL, I think you do it.
Well, yeah, and well,
I think like a deal like that too, Joe, doesn't like Bill's age come into the play then too? Where can you when you have Bill as your coach? Are you really thinking beyond 3 or 4 years from now? Like, is it really are you worried? Are you worried about 2028 when Bill Belichick's your coach?
Well, and it's also not like you have this like hot crap quarterback that, you know, is going to be a perennial all pro for, you know, the next 10 years. I mean, you like debated if you have Trevor Lawrence, you debated if you have,
Justin Herbert,
okay, like or Burrow. Like you like debated if that.
Okay. All right.
But for Mac Jones
was probably a bet. Okay.
No. Right. Well, no, because a lot of Patriots fans are probably like, well, you're out of your mind. I never trade. I trade Mac Jones for half the league.
And Jalen Brown, I think, is better at his sport than. All right. Yes. I just wanted to make a comparison.
It's not a bad argument. But it's not a bad hypothetical to put out there. But, any excuse to rag on him too is welcome. I do enjoy that.
The Kyrie Irving part of this is just priceless too. I mean, it feels like everybody's finally in agreement on Kyrie, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I made the point. I've been making the point now for like 6 months that I don't get why owners who are captains of industry are the very wealthiest, the very most powerful people in the world. Allow these guys to just crap all over them. like at a certain point, and good for the Alibaba guy who owns...
this guy's like one of the most successful people.
Yeah, he owns the Amazon of China. Like, you know, like, I would be like, who are you? Like I'm paying you 36... Like, I made this point. It's like, if I own it Milwaukee and it's Giannis... Like, and I drafted Giannis and he's developed. I would I'd do anything I could to keep the kid. Anything I could. But if I bring in these hired guns who start talking about how they're going to talk to me about the roster and that, you know, they're not playing and I'm paying them $36 million a year, go screw. No, it's not worth it. I'm more powerful than you are. I wouldn't have taken that crap.
I mean, it's unbelievable that he leaks six teams that he would quote unquote go to and all six of them say no. Then he turns around and acts like he's being different by opting in. And Kevin Durant immediately demands a trade.
Yeah.
like how toxic, like I can't think of, is there any athlete that like that's that toxic right now?
That is self-sabotage to that degree without breaking the law. Like without committing crimes, that is just by just entirely on attitude sabotage their career to that point. I can't think of anybody. I mean, there's certainly people that have, you know, I mean, the Sean Watsons of the world that have sabotaged their careers, but by doing nothing but being a jackass. No, I can't think of anyone.
Yeah,
I can't. And he had it all. And the people closest to him can't figure out what happened. Is the scary thing too. So, all right. We got Bert Breer. We'll talk a little football coming up. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tutcher and Rich.
Everything seems slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tutcher and Rich. And I'll tell you, the Fox 25 is down the street from here.
Where else would you go?
Yeah, Bert, you'd love this.
And I'll tell you, they have made the weather person, Sherry Spear, they have made her a star.
Yeah.
She's right there with the two anchors. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many news stations would bring the weather person with them. I would guess Sherry's been not long for this market. I think that she is L.A., New York could be on the horizon.
Bert, the Zip Trip is in Dorchester today.
Oh, nice.
They
nice.
Are on the harbor on Morrissey Boulevard where the beach is down there.
The beautiful beach.
Oh, at the, oh, right down
right
the street?
By, like, right, yeah. Right behind BC High?
Yeah, right, yeah, like, right, exactly, like, right near the station, actually.
I've never seen nice. Anybody on that beach.
No, well, of course not, Mike. Of course, it's where the
like, back in the day, this would be a job for Adolfo, wouldn't it? Send him over there?
I don't even know what good that would do. I don't even know if I'd feel right sending him over there.
You'd be like, yeah, just walk down the street. That wouldn't happen. Someone would have to drop him off.
Hey, he walked to Foxborough one time.
He remember did that? Indeed. He yeah. did. He walked to Foxborough. I'll tell you this, is that when this station moves, there is not a chance in hell I am ever, ever, ever coming back here. This is you have seen the last of me.
Yeah, unless you get lost on the way somewhere.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to get real lost to end up down here.
I'd actually been there quite a bit because the Globe was there when I worked there, of course. And then I played high school football there, too, across the street. So
BC High, yeah.
Did you go to BC High?
No, I went to Lincoln Sudbury, but we played against BC High when I was in high school.
Well, because I guess the idea when Greater Media, who's not our company, Greater Media got this building, they thought that because of the Globe and the TV station that was next to us that has been long abandoned, they thought that they were building some sort of like media row, like morons. They thought that they were building some media row around here. And stuck like us here,
like the media district.
Yes, and I'll tell you all you need to know. Brandon Merriweather came in here a couple weeks ago, and he goes, "Why y'all in the ghetto?"
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. First thing he said off the air was, "Why y'all in the ghetto?" is the first thing that he said. And I said, "I don't know. I could not tell you for $1 million why we're here."
I wouldn't classify it as the ghetto. I mean, like, just an industrial area.
The opposite
area, right?
To Fred, where you come from, I would, well, yeah.
It's just an industrial area.
Yeah, where I
area,
come from,
right?
The beautiful Detroit, Michigan.
No, I'm talking about when you're Columbia Road riding.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the greatest.
No.
It's not the greatest area.
Well, I whatever.
Oh, you
like,
cut down Columbia Road?
Yeah, that's what I have to do. I'm not afraid to be here. It's just, it's the most inconvenient place in the world to be. And it's. There's nothing to do around here. There's nothing to eat. And so, but what did happen is last week I was driving and there was construction on Columbia Road. It didn't say why. So I put on my GPS and it sent me through Mattapan, Roxbury, and then literally had me make a turn into Northeastern. When I say to you, Bert, into Northeastern, into a building. Of Northeastern. It had me literally on
I was
going
to say, like, Northeastern just sort of blends into the city. So going into Northeastern is kind of difficult, actually.
Yeah, and so, and by the way, it's something called redlining, apparently, Adam told me, which is where they make low-income areas, like, impossible to navigate. Like, for instance, if you're in Mattapan, there's no, like, road that goes west, right? That, like, takes you out of the city. Like, it's just this maze of left and rights and U-turns and crap like that. And it aggravated me so much that I apparently had tensed up so much that I could not unclench my right hand. I needed help to get into the house. I couldn't grab my keys. I had become so overcome with anger that I my doctor gave me Xanax and said, take these with you. But I don't know where they are right now. I take one now.
No.
After Joe's stupid train thing.
Yeah, I don't know. This thing, I didn't know it was going to set you off. I just...
Some things are so bizarre, Joe, that I just...
Hey, Bert, I have a football question. Just getting back to this Big Ten thing. Huh? You said to jump for it. For those who are kind of checking in, the USC and UCLA want to play in the Big Ten.
No, they don't want to. They're going to.
They're going to.
But they
okay.
voted on it. They
so
voted on
it. I'm looking at this in a betting angle. And why do they, does the West Coast team want to play at potentially Michigan late in the year? Like, how does that favor them? The West Coast, the East Coast, that's just the first thing that stood out to me.
And is it only football or is it?
No, I think it's all sports.
Yeah, basketball too.
Which is like, I mean, a nightmare if you're like a field hockey player, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're talking about traveling by train, you're going to get a Greyhound bus out to like Iowa in January.
I mean, you're going to be spending a lot of time in that big giant terminal in Detroit on layovers.
Listen, at least they improved it.
It is. The new Detroit airport is very nice.
Oh, yeah. And you can get legit Lafayette Coney Island there, too. But, those basketball programs, it's going to be hysterical. UCLA is going to compete in the Big Ten in basketball. They're going to get destroyed. I mean, USC is going to compete in the Big Ten. That's crazy. But so the idea, is there going to be a time when it's not conferences?
I think that's what this is all going towards. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going towards, and this has been talked about for years, guys. Like, it's going to be, I think, 50 or 60 football schools pulling away from the NCAA. And then they'll probably make like a for-profit model for football and figure it out for everything else, I would think. You know, like it's just, I don't know, like it sort of feels like that's the way it should be anyway, because there are 50 or 60 schools in football specifically that no one else can compete with, you know? And so, like, I think that's probably where we're going. And this is just kind of the process of getting there.
Now, do you believe that the geography of the conferences was or is important now that that's going away?
I've always thought it was. I mean, like, it was in the past. Now it doesn't. Now it's just money, right? Like, and I think all of this is, it's like I said earlier, like, you know, I think so much of this is driven by not wanting to be the one who's left out.
Yep.
So, like, if you're Texas and Oklahoma, it's like, well, I either go to the SEC or they're going to extend these invites to somebody else. Maybe it would have been USC or UCLA. And if they extend to somebody else the invites, then I'm going to be the one left out in the cold.
Right.
And like for the Big Ten, it's like, well, do we accept USC and UCLA? Because if we don't, maybe they go to the SEC. Because if borders don't matter anymore, well, then we got to protect ourselves and create like the largest number of revenue generating properties as we can. And like, that's like, there's no other reason if you're the Big Ten to go get USC and UCLA other than we're negotiating new television deals right now. And if we have those two schools, those deals are going to be worth a whole lot more than they are right now.
And maybe they can make it the two divisions of the Big Ten a little more fair. Because now it's lopsided. It's crazy. Yeah.
I would say the USC and UCLA would probably go in the West Division of the Big Ten.
I would assume so. And then because it's the West Division of the Big Ten is like Iowa, hi. And then, I mean, it's a joke.
And not to bore the people.
We are close. I think we're probably closer to Iowa than USC and UCLA are.
Yeah, yeah, it's about, yeah, so, we probably are.
Some big name coaches, though. Chip Kelly, Lincoln. I wonder when Lincoln Riley's going to complain about the flight, flight.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley went from a Big 12 coach who was going to wind up in the SEC to now being a Pac-12 coach who's going to wind up in the Big 10 in like 8 months' time.
Yeah, he'll complain about it, too.
I don't know, Fred. Does this bother you?
I liked the geographic differences and the stylistic differences of the of how that it used to be. I mean, when I was growing up, the Big Ten was, you know, a ground game and tough defense. And then out west was like, you know, the pretty boy passing games and this and that.
They sort of, yeah, they sort of like reflected the, right, though. They really did sort of reflect the regions of the country they were from.
Yeah. And, I mean, Schembechler never won anything, and he was loved it in Michigan.
But I still think there are schools that are like that there. Iowa's still, you know, Wisconsin's one of those teams.
They churn out linemen and stuff like that, yeah. But now, I mean, it's going to be really difficult.
I mean, I think anybody who's been on, like, one of those campuses, like, been on a campus in at a Big Ten school in October for a game, or a SEC, like, on an SEC campus for a game in October, like, there's like an identity to what those like conferences are, like even beyond just the football, like what it's like there in the fall. And I don't think you lose that, but I think it's a little weirder when there's like, it's not like Wisconsin coming to Michigan or Penn State coming to Ohio State, you know, and even Penn State's a little different because it's newer, but Penn State's at least in like that region.
And
you know?
It fits in. Yeah. It fit in.
And it fits.
Yeah.
Like Nebraska's like, even though Nebraska, like we all grew up with Nebraska being in the Big Eight and the Big 12, like Nebraska still like sort of feels like it fits like a Big Ten, Big Ten identity.
How about Rutgers?
No.
Rutgers was like this wild swing by the Big Ten. Like, hey, we're going to get the New York market. Oh, wait a minute. No one in New York City cares about Rutgers.
Again, big name coaches in that conference right now, though, if you look at it. They've done it. And Halfley, now, you know, they've had treads going elsewhere now. I'm interested. We're talking college football July 4th weekend.
Hey, we're going on vacation. I'll tell you this, is that every time I see Rutgers, I just feel sorry for anyone who goes there. I just am like, why did you go there? Why did you choose Rutgers?
I mean, like, have you ever been to, so like, ask somebody from New Jersey to describe their campus. I don't think there is one. Like,
no.
I lived in Jersey for a year, and they're like, well, part of it's in New Brunswick and part of it's in Piscataway, and it's a weird place.
Yeah.
Sorry, Greg Bedard.
He went to Rutgers?
Yeah, he's a Rutgers guy. But they don't belong in the Big Ten at all.
No, they don't. It's like a commuter school. It's a dump. I mean, what, are they ever going to compete? They're never going to compete for anything in the Big Ten.
Like, Big Ten schools are like these, with the exception of like Northwestern, like these hulking, like 40, 50,000 student campuses that are centralized. And like, again, there's just like a look to it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Maryland's another team that really doesn't.
I still think of them as like ACC.
Yeah, same with me. If you told me to name all the Big Ten teams, I might have left Maryland out.
Yeah. I actually found out a couple of years ago, Johns Hopkins is in the Big Ten for lacrosse.
Wow.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
That's their one sport
that
everyone brags about playing there. All right. Bert's going to stick with us. We'll talk about the Deshaun Watson situation in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us via Zoom. I've been reading that the Deshaun Watson trial thing is over. And what are we, was it a mistake? I'm reading articles now that Cleveland made a huge mistake by signing him. What is your take on the situation?
You know, I think that remains to be seen. Obviously, you know, like what he can do in an era when everybody's trying to get even just a little bit better at that position. Like, I can understand why they did it when they did it. like right now, I would say a lot of this is going to boil down to whether or not he's out for the entire year or not. And I still think that's up in the air. The independent arbitrator is a former U.S. court, district court judge. She's 70 years old. I think it's unpredictable what she's going to do. What I would say is I think the league is at least nervous that it's going to be less than a year. You know, the NFL, the settlement talks between Deshaun Watson and the NFL broke down because the league insisted on a year. They're now looking for more than that. They're looking for what's termed in the CBA as banishment, which means basically that he's out for at least a year and then has to reapply. Or has to apply for reinstatement. I think that just the way that everything's sort of become so public the last couple of weeks, that to me that tells me that the league is worried that this is going to be less than a year. And the reason why is because the one thing I can say is I have heard that the arbitrator is not happy that this stuff has leaked out. Isn't happy that so much of this has become public. And I think if the NFL were not worried about the way she was going to rule, then they wouldn't risk angering her by getting their side of the story out there. But they've aggressively pushed the narrative out there that they're looking for at least a year. So I think the NFL is at least concerned that this is going to wind up being 6 or 8 games.
So what's the next move for Baker Mayfield? Are they just waiting to see what's going on with this and then trade him, or does nobody want him? What is the status of
Yeah, Mayfield? Mike, they haven't really the information I have is that the two sides are done with each other. The Baker's been 100% done with the Browns. He's shown that with his actions. And if you look at the way the Browns have operated, like, he's not still on the roster as an insurance policy. He's on the roster because they haven't been able to move him,
right?
Because his number is over $18 million. And they haven't even been able to move him while offering to take on half of his salary.
Oh, boy.
So, like, that's the baseline. The baseline is my information says the sides are done with each other. Now, if Watson is suspended for a year, like, and this is just me talking logically, might it make sense for them to reconcile? I actually think it might. Like, if you look at it, are the Browns going to find a better quarterback if Watson's out for the year for their 2022 team than Baker Mayfield? I think the answer to that is no. You feel comfortable with Jacoby Brissett maybe for 6 or 8 games. I don't think you feel comfortable with him as your starter for the whole year. So I think Baker's probably the best, if Watson's out for the year, the best solution for them at quarterback. And if you're Baker, is there a better team out there for you to go and play well and put yourself in a position to start somewhere and get paid in 2023 than the Browns?
But is he really hated by his teammates, like it's been reported?
I mean, that's something that you'd have to kind of get past, but I don't think it's, I mean, a lot of these teams turn over every year.
Sure.
And B, I think once they got into a training camp setting, a lot of that stuff would subside. Now, if like they go on a 3 or 4 game losing streak to start the year, could the old wound, you know, be reopened? Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. But I do think that there's a scenario where if you're the Browns, if you're Mayfield, it's sort of like, I've made this analogy a couple times this week. It's like staying together for the kids, I guess, you know,
right?
Like where it just makes sense for the two parties to make it work for a single year, knowing that it's not going to go beyond that.
So it's funny, the people think of so little of him that they wouldn't even take him on for $9 million, like a Carolina.
Right. Well, and part of it, Fred, was the timing. Like, they didn't get Deshaun until whatever it was, March 16th, right?
Right.
And so, like, by the time the Browns knew they were getting Watson, like, okay, like now we turn around and trade Baker Mayfield. Oh, wait a minute. Like, a lot of the seats out there that were open are now filled. And so, like, part of it, I think, was the timing of the way the Watson thing went down, which, no one had any control over that, because that was all about when the criminal charges were dropped, or when the state decided not to file criminal charges.
Hey, Bert, I wanted to bring up the Jimmy Garoppolo talk that's been coming up of late. Obviously, Martellus Bennett had his comments, and Julian Edelman doubled down on it. I always thought it was Brady that kind of made Belichick trade Garoppolo, but could it have been that the players did think he was soft, and maybe they only really could have gotten a second-round pick for him?
So if you don't know what Joe's talking about, Martellus Bennett said that Garoppolo didn't play in some games where he should have, and then basically called him a pussy, and then Edelman read the comments and then agreed with him and told the stories about how Brissett played with a dislocated thumb or torn ligaments in his thumb, and Garoppolo probably could have played and it was less injured than Brissett. So, yeah, so there you go. That's just...
I mean, could it have been a factor, Joe? Maybe. Was it a driving factor? I don't think so. And the reason why is, like, again, this, like, sort of boils down to timing, where, like, in 2017, they knew, all right, we're in the final year of Jimmy's contract, right? And I believe that injury happened. It was 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Am I right about that?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Brady's suspension was in 16. Mm-hmm. So, like... if you know, like, we're not going forward with Jimmy because of how we feel about how he handled that injury in 2016, well, then wouldn't you have traded him in the 2017 offseason? Like, especially, like, after you draft, like even if you, like, look at it and say, okay, like, we're going to wait until the draft. Well, they drafted Jacoby Brissett, right? Like, and then after they drafted, like they had Jacoby Brissett in the roster. God, I messed up the timing there. So, you have Jacoby Brissett on the roster, right? And so, like, you could have traded him in March. You could have traded him at the draft. And, you know, you get to September and then you trade Jacoby, right? So now you've left yourself without any sort of backup of the position. If you knew all along we're going to move Jimmy Garoppolo, you would have done it way earlier than you did it, than you wound up doing it there at the end of October of 2017 with the Niners.
Okay. But suffice it to say, people think he's a pussy.
I mean, I think, like, we heard the rumblings when he got hurt. Then Marty says what he said. And I think Edelman, I mean, like, I don't know if you guys saw the video of that, like, it's sort of like it just came out like in a very matter of fact way.
Yeah.
It didn't
seem
like he was trying to push anything out.
No, no, it was.
That's what I'm saying. It might change. It kind of, I mean, it kind of changes the narrative for me.
That was the second thing that stuck out. The first thing that stuck out was Julian Edelman wearing sunglasses inside.
No, I mean, it's if you spend enough time in Foxborough, yeah, him and Zolak and everyone else.
I just do wonder if you mentioned the, hey, maybe they would have traded him early on, but, like, doesn't that double down that Belichick really messed that one up? Like, I mean, we sit here and say he only got a second round pick, you know?
Well, and Cleveland was willing to move a one for him, if you remember. So, like, there was a point where Cleveland was looking at it and willing to move a first round pick for him and frustrated that they couldn't get more traction with the Patriots and talking about Jimmy, and more frustrated when the trade actually happened because, you know, they felt like we were willing to go further than that. So, like, again, like, the idea that there was some grand plan to move Jimmy Garoppolo that was hatched when he got hurt in 2016 doesn't work because of all of the other things that happened in between.
Okay. All right. Well, Bert Breer from, I believe, Nantucket Island.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And are you almost made it unscathed there. I think you guys got my dog in the background at the very end.
Oh, well, it's just so distracting, Bert. I mean, we can't have that.
Dogs are welcome.
Yeah. But so you're on Nantucket for help. Now, will you see Rich when he's there?
I hope so. I haven't heard from him yet. Is he here yet?
No, I think he's in South Carolina. But do you guys pal around?
We have met up at the brewery a couple times, yeah.
Okay. Do you ride a bicycle around like he does?
I have, yes. We bought bike, like, last year. I think it was my anniversary gift to Emily was bikes.
Oh, so you're really getting shape lady.
We all have bikes now. We have, we have, like, a Thule rack to put on top. I've got, like, the suburban dad, like, Tahoe now with, like, the Thule rack on top and then the bike rack on the back.
Well, hell yeah. So there you go. And you're there for
evolved.
How long? You're there for how long?
Through the 15th.
Are you going to buy property there?
I don't know. We'll see. It's pretty pricey now. I think like Felger and Rich got in when the going was good. It's not good anymore.
I mean, how much different could it have been 3 years?
It's
ago?
A big difference.
The rates are much higher these days.
It's I thought I thought the pandemic would knock the prices down here because I figured, okay, more people are going to be getting rid of their second homes, and the opposite happened.
Mm. Well, where my parents live, like, went crazy because there's 6,000 homes where my parents live, and people were just that were like 50 were just, I mean, it's not a retirement community, but it's,
you know what it is, Fred, is people can work remote now.
Well, some people were just like, screw it, I'm not working anymore at 50.
And I think that I know that, like, here, like we had run into like these people who had like a kid with an autoimmune disorder, and so they lived in New York City, had a house here, and so like when the height of the pandemic, they come here as sort of shelter because it didn't make sense to have their kid in New York,
right?
Well, that's and like they rich. Just decided, and then the guy the husband was like, well, I can work remotely from here anyway, and they just sort of live here full time now. And I think there's a lot of cases like that, like vacation spots like this or like where your parents are at. Like, I think people are moving there full time because they can work remote now. So the values of those places, the house values go way up.
Kind of BS. Don't have to come into work.
It's going to be very lonely in the wintertime, though.
Oh, but Nantucket sucks in the winter. I don't know. Yeah. I don't like Nantucket anyway.
I've never been there.
Me neither.
Never been able to.
I've been there once, and it was before I lived here.
I stare at it, though, when I'm in Dennisport. I see it, though.
Wow, Fred, Rich never invited you?
I've never been in Rich's apartment. So, no.
Which you've been in walking distance too many times.
So, I've not been invited to Nantucket.
You can take the red line to Rich's apartment from where you're sitting right now.
I've been told the red line very dangerous.
Not as dangerous as the orange line.
Oh, orange is the worst.
The orange line has this. For people who grew up here, the orange line definitely has a stigma that's unique to itself.
I had a friend who had to take the orange line that lived, I think, around here, and he would get off and just run. He worked at a bar, and so it would be like 2 a.m. or whenever the hell the train ran. And he would just get off the train and just run home. Good he old. Lived in back when Southie was Southie. All right, Bert, well, enjoy your vacation. We appreciate you taking the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
And there you go, the Bert Breer from MMQB.
I'm just picturing Bert and Rich like pedaling around Nantucket in a bicycle built for two.
Yeah, I don't like it there.
What about them like being fishing buddies?
I don't see Bert as a fisherman.
And I don't see Rich as a fisherman.
Well, he has a boat, though.
He tries.
Yeah. Yeah, he bought a boat. I don't see him as a fisherman.
He's just killing time.
Yeah, but
But Rich, all right, I love Rich. I will say this, though. Every time Rich says he bought the boat, he tells people, like, he got such a great deal, he's going to sell it for 3 times what he bought it for.
No.
Which is like the most preposterous thing in the history of the world. I don't care if you bought it for $1. Nothing decreases in value more than a boat.
Right.
Then you have to store the boat, and then you have to winterize it and maintain it.
And he had to fix it all up. I mean, please. He always feels the need to like that he didn't spend any money. Like, he doesn't want people to think that he spent money. It's like, wow, okay, you bought a 16-foot boat. That's great. Like, enjoy your boat. But he's like, yeah, I bought it for like the steel. Like, everyone was getting rid of their boats, and I could sell it for triple what I bought it for. No, no, no. Maybe what you bought it for, but then you had to do everything else for it.
Plus the gas.
But the gas
to fill that bad boy up now.
The mooring of it, the everything that goes along with it. But I don't care for it out there. I don't want to buy any property around here. That I one piece of property, that's fine. I want a house away.
Away.
Away, where it's... The summer's nice enough here. I don't need to go over there. I want a place away. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.